This day shall be a memorial feast for you, which all your generations shall celebrate with pilgrimage, a coming to the Lord, as a perpetual institution. Tonight, following that precept of the ancient Jewish law, as we do every Sunday, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But tonight we celebrate that Mass of the Lord's Supper, signaling the end of Lent and the beginning of the Paschal Triduum. We get our word Paschal, meaning Easter, from the Hebrew word Pesach, which is Passover. This Mass of the Lord's Supper recalls a time when, while at Passover, Jesus gave us the institution of the ministerial priesthood of the New Covenant and the Eucharist. Jesus, knowing that he was soon to leave this world, while fulfilling the ancient precepts of the Jewish law and observing the Passover with his apostles, as we heard, took bread and wine, blessed them, and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood." And then the Lord gives the command, "Do this in memory of me." And so, as the apostles did, we gather around Christ and we celebrate this sacrament of his immense love for humanity. And mindful of his immense and fathomless love, we imitate the Lord in his humility, washing the apostles' feet. Tonight, the priest, celebrant of the Mass, imitates the Lord in washing feet, a humiliating job that was done by the lowest of slaves and lowest of servants in Christ's time. But we do the same thing day in and day out, every week, by committing ourselves to humble and sincere love for one another. We do this in a spirit of reconciliation and forgiveness. We think about that. That while the priest is performing the ancient ritual of foot washing, what is it that we do to reconcile ourselves to one another, to really love one another in humble sincerity? By not being proud, but by imitating Christ, being less full of ourselves and filled with Christ in that spirit of reconciliation and forgiveness. As Christians, we know that we must cherish and hold on to that new commandment that was expressed by the Lord in this symbolic action. Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." Now, after this Mass, the Blessed Sacrament is going to be removed and reserved away from the main body of the Church, symbolic of Jesus, the bridegroom, being taken away from his bride, the Church. Of this night, St. John tells us that Jesus, knowing that the hour had come for him to pass out of this world to the Father, and having loved his own who were in the world, loved them until the end. Even Judas. He loved even Judas. Interestingly enough, in the Gospel of St. John, there's no account of the Last Supper and the institution of the Eucharist as there is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But we do know, for example, that Jesus spoke at length in the 6th chapter of St. John about himself as the bread of life. And Jesus says that. "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood," Jesus says, "you have no life within you." That he is the bread come down from heaven, the bread of life. And this discourse on the Eucharist occurs between two events. Jesus speaks about himself as being that living bread after feeding 5,000 people. Whereas many of you have heard me say before, the Lord takes 5 loaves and 2 fish. And of course, he blesses and distributes them with 12 baskets left over. Those numbers are symbolic. The number 7, of course, being that number of perfection. The 5 loaves, if Jesus is the bread of life, we know that Jesus offers himself as a sacrifice and he endures 5 wounds in his hands, his feet, and his side. Those 2 fish symbolize several things: the old covenant and the new covenant fulfilled in Christ. Also, the blood and water that flow from the side of Christ, symbolizing baptism and Eucharist, by which we are drawn into Jesus' life, where he lives in us and we live in him. As Jesus told the apostles, do this in memory of me, it was 12 apostles who would carry on what Jesus does, to offer this sacrifice, to inherit his priesthood, and to continue offering the sacrifice of Jesus to the Father. Following the discourse of John in chapter 6, Jesus goes up to the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. We think of the tabernacle as the receptacle where we keep the consecrated host, but it's mindful of the original tabernacle, the tent where God dwelt with his people as he went with them in the Ark of the Covenant from the time that they received the Ten Commandments until the time they entered into the Holy Land. But Jesus says that he does not go up to the feast. He doesn't go to that Feast of Tabernacles, for his time is not yet fulfilled. But Christ comes to the tabernacle now. The hour has come. The sacrifice is finished. His time is fulfilled. The Passion for St. John is the apex, the pinnacle of Christ's life. As Jesus said, "For this I was born, to testify to the truth." And when you think about it, it's the same for all of us. That's why you and I were born, and why we're all born again in baptism and nourished with the Eucharist, so that we, by our lives and our words, like Jesus, can testify to the truth. Testify to him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Everything that Jesus spoke of, everything that Jesus did, everything about his life, quite simply, was love. Everything Jesus said, everything he did, there was nothing of Jesus that was not love. And in that love, he calls for a unity that begins with that love. Why? Because God is love. We know that. And as St. John tells us, all those who love abide in God, and God abides in them. We're made in the image and likeness of this God who is love, and God is also a trinity of persons, and he's calling all of us who are made in his image and likeness to be of one heart and one mind, to be united in Christ through baptism and through the sacrament that we celebrate tonight. The truth that Christ testifies to is that man has sinned, and we did, that we have sinned through pride, and that pride has turned into hatred of God and has turned into hatred of one another. It's in every human heart. That tendency is there. When Jesus speaks of the world in the gospel, he is speaking of a dominion that is under Satan, a world that through pride and through human sinfulness and hatred is apart from God, a world that in this hour will be overcome. Christ, in love and humility, offers himself to the Father, and he does this for all of humanity. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He will be lifted up, drawing all humanity to himself. In doing so, Jesus reconciles God to man. He reconciles human beings to God, and he reconciles human beings to one another. Christ overcomes the world. Christ overcomes pride. Christ overcomes hatred. Christ overcomes the estrangement that hatred and pride both cause. We know that we have communion through him and with him and in him. The kingdom has been established, and the scattered people of God in exile through sin have been redeemed. The divine kingship of Christ has been established forever, and you and I have been made sharers in that kingdom. John mentions that there is a supper, but during supper, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going to God, Jesus rose from supper, removed his garments, wrapping a towel around his waist, and washed the feet of his disciples. What Jesus is doing is stripping himself of glory, and he serves in humility. The proud Simon Peter can't accept this, but Jesus insists by saying, "I've given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you also should do to one another." At that same moment, the proud Judas, who objected to Mary's anointing of the feet of Jesus at Bethany, just prior to his arrival in Jerusalem, leaves when Jesus says, "One of you will betray me." When Judas had gone out, the Lord said, "Now is the Son of Man to be glorified, and God is glorified in him. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, that as I have loved you, you also must love one another. And by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." May we love as Christ has taught us. May we live in the peace that Christ has given us. As Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, and I also have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you."